Good morning. I'm telling you, what about that worship? Amen. That is wonderful. I know that everybody here is familiar with cell phones, so you know how many here gets frustrated when your cell phone is like at 1%. You're like, oh, it's going to die on me. It's going to die on me. I need to get it to a charger. Yeah. Well, be honest. Yes. I get aggravated and frustrated sometimes too when mine starts about to die, and I get panicky. But you know what? Singing, coming to church is just like plugging that phone into a charger, right? You should come here and get spiritually and emotionally charged. And when I was a youth pastor, I used to use this term, spam. How many here has ever had spam before? You like spam? Yeah. Well, the acronym for spam I used to use with the youth group to get their attention was called spiritually pumped and metamorphosized. So you get excited, and you should come to church and get excited, and worship like we were just doing should excite you. Amen? We should be excited. Now, we all know that you can turn the television on, or you're reading social media or whatever, and you know that the world just seems like it's falling apart. But you know what? When you get your eyes on Jesus, it's like plugging into that charger, and the Holy Spirit comes, and He charges you. He recharges you. Amen? And I hope this morning that you being here this morning, not that I'm up here preaching or anything, I hope that the Holy Spirit through me and through worship and our acts of worship, oh, thank you so much. I have to get me a drink here. I hope that you can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, that when you walk out of here, you are spiritually pumped. And you're metamorphosized, changed. You know, you can apply the message to your life. I mean, that is the whole point of preaching the word, preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel, is to encourage one another, to edify one another. Amen? And that's what I'm here to do this morning. The title of the message is going to kind of piggyback off of what Pastor Andy was talking about last week. He had messaged me a couple weeks ago, said, hey, do you think you could fill in for me the 29th? And I was like, yeah, I'll pray about it. And we all know, you know, he runs marathons. God bless him. Yes. The only running I do is from the couch to the refrigerator. but he ran a marathon. Everything went well. So we're praying for his recovery. Amen. Because I know he's going to have to recover from that. But so I prayed about it, and I told him, sure, I'd be more than happy to fill in. And he said he was going to give me the freedom to kind of start us into a new series here at the church. And I started thinking about family, because as you all know, I have a large family. We just added 3 more to the Wallace household. But it's been a blessing. And, you know, I'm all about family. But what kind of message do I preach on family that kind of piggybacks off what Pastor Andy was talking about last week? How many of you was here last week and remember what Pastor Andy was talking about? He was talking about passing the baton and running with the ministry, in the ministry, and Elijah to Elisha. And in that story, it talks about God, you know, that Elijah put a mantle on Elisha. He was passing not only the baton, but he was putting the mantle and covering over Elisha. Well, the title of the message this morning is Picking Up the Mantle. Picking it up the mantle. Not just putting it on, but picking it up and taking it with you wherever you go. And as New Hope Community Church, that's the direction we want to go in, is we want to not only pick up, pass the baton, but we want to pick up the mantle. So this morning, that's the title of the message. I'd like for everybody to stand. We're going to do something a little different this morning. I'd like for everybody to stand. And I want us to, I'm going to read this verse of Scripture. This is how we're going to start out. I'm going to read this verse of Scripture. And then I want you guys to repeat it after me. We're going to do this about 3 times, because I think after about 3 times, it kind of resonates and it kind of gets into your spirit. So Psalm 119, one of my favorite verses, it says, then thou speakest in the vision to thy by the one, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. That is not it. That is not it. That is actually the word of the Lord. Let me go. That's not it. I don't know where that came from. No, you're cool. You're fine. let me go. Psalm 119:89. Let me go to that. I was starting to read. I was like, that doesn't make sense. It's not flowing. All right. One of my favorite verses, Carrie, that's fine. You're good. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." All right, so I want everybody to repeat that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm going to say it again. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. All right, one more time. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So I want you guys to understand that whatever God has said in his word, it is settled in heaven. That means, and I want you to take this with you, that means that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Philippians 4:13. Amen? It's settled in heaven. God said it. He also said, "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world." Amen? God said it. That settles it, right? He also said in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good for those who are called by the Lord according to his purpose. Amen? For those that love him. That is settled in heaven. That means that in heaven, if they had a business meeting, they all come together and they all voted and said, "His word is covenant," and that is exactly what it means. And that settles it, and we need to stand on it. Amen? Amen. So this morning, I want you to remember, you just spoke that. And the scripture says that if you speak that, it's made into salvation. Amen? Romans 10:10. If we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, confession is made unto salvation. So we've spoken into existence. So whatever God has said in the word, that means it becomes real in our lives. Amen? You may be seated. Boy, I've already started preaching and I haven't even got to my main text yet. So if you do have your Bibles or your phones or whatever, however you get to the scripture, we're going to be reading out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll be starting with verse 1. The second epistle of Paul, the apostle to Timothy. Not long before Paul's death, he wrote this moving letter to Timothy. It's one of the last letters of Paul, and he wrote it to Timothy because Timothy was like a son to him. He was like a son to him. So he was writing to him like a son. And it's a beautiful letter. But it's not only just to Timothy, it's also to charge the church. To give us a charge, a challenge on how we're supposed to conduct being men and women of God in leadership and in ministry and passing the baton and placing a mantle. And that's what Paul was doing here. He was writing a letter to Timothy and he was giving him instruction and he was placing a mantle over Timothy. So in starting with verse 1, we begin reading. If you're there, say amen. I know you see it up on screen, but chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God in whom I am serving my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in the remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath given us have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I'd like for you all to stand one more time and let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm all about exercise. Or not really. I mean, you can tell. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you bless the ears that are here, the hearts and lives that are here to receive it, and those that are watching online, that you will bless them and you will touch them. And Lord, I pray that you anoint this message. Let my words be few and your words be many, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Look to your neighbor and said, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled in heaven. Amen. And tell somebody, glad to see you here. We have a few people here that came. I don't know why they came just to hear me. I invited them to come to church, but they came here to see me, and it's been a blessing. I've hope and pray that I've had some kind of influence in their lives at work or some, like, you know, outside of work or whatever. But I'm glad they're here. So if you see a new face here, get to them, tell them hi. This is a loving church, and if they haven't talked to you already, they will before you leave. I promise. But, yeah, please, church, don't make me out to be a liar. No. But anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he's trying to explain to him about his faith and the mantle that he's trying to get Timothy to pick up, and he's passing on some valuable information to Timothy and instruction. He's also giving it to the church as well. So, you know, Pastor Andy and I talked about it, and I told him that I wanted to kind of get into talking about family a little bit and discipling family. Well, this is where it starts right here. And Paul reminds Timothy in this scripture where he is getting his faith at. So where did Timothy receive his unfinished faith? Well, let's look at verse 5. In verse 5 of chapter 1, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first. Where did he get it? Where did he get that unfinished faith? It says first in his grandmother Lois, and then his mother Eunice. He said, I'm persuaded that not only is the spirit that's in them has been stirred up in you. That's where you received it. Now, my grandmother is here this morning. Praise the Lord. She's going to be, I won't tell your age, but hey, we ought to be proud of this. She's going to be 90 here around Christmas. Yeah. And you don't want to, I'll tell you something. It's because of all her life, she's dedicated herself to the Lord. She's a woman of God, a woman of faith. My mother is also here as well with her. And for the last few years, she's been a woman of faith. I'm up here today because of the legacy that my grandfather and my grandmother and my family planted in me. My grandfather, who passed away in 2013, was in the ministry and pastored for 61 years. He passed that baton to me. He laid that mantle on me. And praise the Lord, I've been preaching for 27 years. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the legacy that was left to me. Amen? And that's what Paul is trying to remind Timothy here. He's trying to say, I know the unfinished faith that you have. And I know where it came from. I don't know if you realize this or not, but this is where it came from. And you know what? You might not have had the opportunity to grow up with godly parents or godly grandparents, but somewhere, someone has spoken into your life, and that's why you're sitting here today. If you believe that, say amen. You're not here by accident. There's no accidents or coincidences with God. He is in control. No matter what the world says, no matter what people say, God is still on the throne. If you believe that, say amen. I'm telling you this morning, as we're sitting here, we need to think about where we received our faith. Who led you to believe? Who passed the mantle on to you? Because when you think about that, I don't know, I'm getting some feedback here, I don't know. But when you're, maybe I'm just too loud, I don't know. Maybe I don't need a mic. I've been told I don't need a mic. But but we need to remember where we came from, where God has brought us from and where he's brought us to and what he's going to bring us through, amen? Not just as New Hope Community Church, but us as individuals. Now, what does it mean, unfinged faith? I looked that up in that definition, and that definition is this. Pure and motive, a pure motive without hypocrisy. A faith that you don't have an angle at what is in it for me. What can I get out of this? You do it because of what he did on the cross. Amen? That is pure and undefiled without hypocrisy. I mean, at some point, people are going to see through your show. You will be exposed. So we don't want to be exposed. We want to be exposed to God, and we want God's Spirit to be exposed through us to the world around us. Amen? And it's not about what you can do. What's in it for me, Lord? It's about what he's already done. God doesn't have to do anything else for you. He did it all at the cross. Now the mantle's being passed to us. The baton's being passed to us. The responsibility's being passed to us. What are we doing with it? You know, I watched my grandfather for years and my grandmother as well pour their lives into people without motive. The only motive they have was to share Jesus with people. That was it. And a lot of people were changed through that. And like I said, I'm standing here today because of that legacy that was planted into my life. Now, Pastor Andy said last week, what does that look like in 10 or 15 years, the generation that's coming up through New Hope? Where are we going to be at? Are we doing all we can as a church, or all we can as individuals to guide the younger generation, to pass that baton, to pass that mantle? Are we picking that mantle up? Are we running with it? Paul told him, he said, I see the unfinished faith in you because of your grandmother and your mother and what they've done in your life. Now, whether you have kids here today or you're ever going to have kids, you know, Carol and I were told we weren't going to have kids, and now I'm going to use this sign that is in our hallway at home that someone got for us. It says we're one tent away from a full-blown circus. And that's true. But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything. The Lord has blessed us. But you know what? Today you might be here and you might not be able to have children. You might not have ever been able to have children. But someone can be your spiritual child. Let me repeat that. Someone in your life can be your spiritual child. I was a youth pastor in Vincennes back in 2001. And before that, Carolyn and I got married in 98. So that means, praise God, we're getting ready to celebrate 25 years. Amen. We've made it. Whew, we've made it to this point. But you know what? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not trying to get brownie points. I don't have an angle here this is an unfinished, like, thing I'm going to say here. I am more in love with my wife now than I was when we said I do. And she's rolling her eyes at me. But there's no motive here. I don't need brownie points. I know she's not getting rid of me yet. But she's like, I can't. I need you because we got all these kids. But I say that because the Lord has blessed me with a godly woman who I watch every day speak into our children's lives and teach them the Word of God. And we are blessed because of it. But in 1997, I was a sophomore in college at Oakland City. I got a call and somebody said, hey, can you come be an evangelist at a church camp up in Petersburg, Indiana? And I said, yeah. So it was a wonderful week of camp. And I mean, every night the Holy Spirit was moving in such a way. I mean, kids were running to the altar. People's lives were being changed. It was absolutely an amazing experience that week. I had no idea that that year I led a 14-year-old boy to the Lord. And I prayed with him, and he received Christ into his heart. And I think he might have been just getting ready to go into high school. Well, in Carolyn, we ended up getting married in 98. We moved to Missouri. Long story short, she wound up going through nursing school, and God called me back to Oakland City to try to finish school. And I ended up getting a job at this church in Vincennes, and that's what brought us back into Indiana from Missouri. And I had no idea. This is how God ordains the steps of the righteous. 2001, I come, I do an interview, I talk to the kids, and one of the kids, a senior in high school, is that kid that I led to the Lord at 14 years old. Hadn't seen him since 97. And he popped up, his eyes got real big when I walked into that room, and he said, I can't believe it. And I was like, what? He said, you don't know who I am, do you? And I'm like, no. He was a senior in high school. And he looked at me. He said, you led me to Jesus when I was 14. And knowing this kid's background, he had no future. If he would have continued living the way he was living and going, I believe in generational curses, if he would have followed his parents' footsteps, he had no future. So I got hired, became his youth pastor, and guess what? I like to say this. He ended up becoming my Timothy, my spiritual son. And I mean, every day after work or every day after school, he'd come to the house and we'd hang out, play Xbox, talk about the Lord, whatever. I would do life with him and disciple him and pass the baton to him. I didn't even realize I was doing that. He ended up graduating high school, ended up going to Oakland City, accepted the call to preach, graduated from Oakland City, and then became a missionary to China. Well, he got kicked out of China. They ran him out because of his preaching. He ended up going to Hong Kong, and he met his wife there, and they have a beautiful family now. But when he came back to the States, he ended up becoming a youth pastor in New Jersey, and he ended up becoming a new youth pastor in Nebraska, and he was kind of all over the place. Down in Texas, he took a job. Well, now, the last time I heard, he was in Wyoming pastoring a church, and he's trained 10 different families to become missionaries to go on the mission field. All because the unfinished faith in my life that was passed to me from my grandmother and my grandfather. It's no accident that they're here today. I'm telling you, this is an encouragement. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God ordains the steps of the righteous. And what does His Word say? His Word says it is settled in heaven. Amen? And that's what He wants to do with each and every one of us in this church. That's what He wants us to do as a church. to move forward, to speak into these young people's lives and the generations to come. So as you sit here this morning, think about the person that has led you to this point, that God has used to lead you to this point. And we are supposed to lead the younger generation as we were led. Amen? Because if we don't, where are we going to be in 10 or 15 years? We already know what's going on in the world. I mean, who knows? Jesus might just come back tomorrow. I don't know. And then again, we might be here another 100 years. I have no idea. All I do know is this, that every waking moment, as the song we were singing, this is the air I breathe. Every moment that your heart's beating and every breath of air that you have, that's one moment to live for Jesus. It's one more moment. It's one more moment to share your life and what God has done in your life. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, middle age, slightly on the backside of 40s. It doesn't matter. He wants you to pass the mantle. He wants you to pick up the mantle if you haven't picked it up. And then lead somebody in the kingdom. The gift that was stirred up in me is like the gift that was stirred up in Timothy, as Paul's talking about. Verse 6, where did that come from? It says, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. What does that mean? That means Paul prayed over Timothy and he was passing the mantle to his spiritual son. And that's what we've got to do as a church. Amen? We all know that we're not getting any younger. Time is of the essence. For such a time as this, we've got to lay hands on in prayer and pass the mantle and lay the mantle on the younger generation coming up. Amen? That's a challenge for not just us here, but everybody that is a disciple of Christ. I like this quote, and I found it in the Living Ministry blog. It says this, it says, your mantle is established and destined by God. So that mantle that I was just sharing with you about my Timothy, Cody, God had already ordained his steps and already had a plan for him. He just had to come into alignment with the will of God and receive that, and God did that. Your mantle is already established, New Hope. You're already destined by God. He wants us to succeed in his kingdom. Amen? We've just got to come in line with that. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not anything that we've done, not anything that Sean Wallace has done, not anything that my grandma or my grandfather has done or my mom, not anything that they have done. But by his works that was already produced on the cross by the shedding of blood, amen, to bring the covenant promise into our lives that his word has already been settled in heaven. And just like he told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but plans for success. Plans to produce and prosper you in all areas of life. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know why, because God has settled it in heaven. He said it. We know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to your purpose, to the world's purpose. No, to the kingdom's purpose. God has already worked the things out for you. You just got to say, all right, Lord, I come in an agreement that your word has been settled in heaven. It is a covenant promise, and I'm going to come in line with that. Amen? I promise you, church, you do that. You're going to see things happen in your life and in the lives of those around you. Maybe you already are. And praise God, keep doing what you're doing. Keep moving forward. As Paul said, press on toward the mark, to the high calling. Forgetting everything behind you. Oh, Lord, I messed up yesterday. I said something to somebody at work I shouldn't have. God's like, I don't remember that, did you? I don't remember that. You already asked for forgiveness. I have no idea what you're talking about. Let's just forget about it and let's move on. My wife tells me that all the time. Forget about it. Let's move forward. I messed up. I didn't do the dishes like I should have. I said I was going to clean the house and I didn't. That's fine. She says something and then she's like, you know what? Let's just move forward. But we got to remember, God has already got the mantle for us. We just got to pick it up and go with it. He's already got the plan. We've just got to come alongside of him and say, all right, Lord, let's go. Let's create some Timothys together. Amen? Receiving the mantle, the responsibility. 2 Timothy, we're getting close to the end here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 through 14, it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the what? The gospel. Because his word is settled. The gospel has already been settled in heaven, right? Verse 11, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I have suffered these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. If you already know who you believe in, you shouldn't be ashamed, amen? He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. His word's already settled in heaven. Hold fast to the form of the sounds of words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, kept by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Let me tell you something. You cannot pass a mantle, pick up a baton, do anything in the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit being in the middle of it. Amen? It won't happen. It's not going to happen. You cannot do it on your own. So we've got to come into agreement with each other and with the Word of God and come into agreement with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit be in the center of every decision that we make as individuals and as a church body. Amen? How can we have the energy to disciple? I was talking to my mom. I talked to her 2-3 times a week. She calls me. Sometimes I just ignore it. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We usually talk sometimes going to work. She'll call me and let me know what's going on, or I'll talk to her. We'll talk about life. But she asked me the other day, and even my Nana, she said the same thing. She says, I just don't know how you guys got the energy. And of course, they're speaking from they've already done this. So I said, I just don't know how you have the energy to keep up with all those kids. Well, here's my response to that. And this is something we need to think about as a church. God has called us to that ministry. And if he's called you to that situation, that ministry, anything in the ministry, if he's called you to it, he's going to equip you with it. And that means even with energy. That means plugging in to the power of God, not waiting till 1% where you're about to go dead and blow up on everybody. Right? So I explained this to her. I said, Mom, I said, everything's just fine. I might be a little tired. Carolyn might be a little tired. She might be a whole lot tired. But we have the anointing on our family to move forward. Do you understand that? We have the anointing in our family to move forward, to speak into the lives of these kids, to create Timothys Because let me tell you something, the world's not going to get any better. I can promise you that. Not until Jesus comes and sets his throne up on planet Earth. The darker it gets, the lighter we're going to have to be. Amen? And how it starts is in our family. Speaking into the lives of those of influence in our lives. So I'm gonna end this sermon, this message, with this. Exodus chapter 3. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight of why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for this place that you stand is on holy ground. Church, God gave me this revelation once. I've preached this message before on the burning bush. Moses was trying to figure out, why is the bush not burning up or burning out? You want to know why? Because the Spirit of God was in it. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord was in that bush, and that's why that bush wasn't burning up or burning out. See, church, I'll leave you with this. When God has called you to something, and you've got to figure out what it is that God's called you to specifically, it doesn't mean have your hand in this over here. Doesn't mean have your hand in this over here just because somebody is not stepping up. You need to step up, because you might step up. And I know when I've stepped up, I've messed up. I wasn't supposed to be doing that. You cannot have your hand in every job in the church or every job in the kingdom. You've got to find out specifically what it is that God has called you to. Maybe it's children's ministry. Maybe it's an elder. Maybe it's an assistant. Maybe it's just greeting. Whatever it is, find out. Because we are in a war spiritually. And the devil wants you to do all of God's work just so he can tear you down and take the energy from you because you were not anointed to do that to begin with. Does that make sense? So, I don't like the term burned out, because if you're burned out, then not saying that you don't need to step back and maybe rest or take a sabbatical. I'm talking about burned out where you're ready to throw everything in. I'm done. And then you just walk away. That's burnout. God doesn't call us to burn out. And the reason you're not going to burn out is because if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you're not going to burn out. Just like that bush. An all-consuming fire. You're not going to burn up. But I'm going to tell you something. When you walk with the Lord and His Spirit is in it, you will constantly be on fire for God. Amen? And that's where we need to be as a church. We need to pick up our mantle. We need to grab the baton. As Pastor Andy used it last week, talking about running, because he always talks about running, right? And he's running, and you know, you're grabbing the baton, and you don't stop. You just keep going. And you, even though that baton's coming your way, you are already taking off. Come on, now I'm telling you, this is a great illustration. He used it last week, and I thought it was amazing. You're already moving in that direction. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming, Lord. And you know what? Just like my grandfather, I was running already, and he passed the baton, and I grabbed it. And he put the mantle on me, and I welcomed it. I was already moving in that direction. But when he took his last breath, he handed it to me. And that's what we're supposed to do as a church. when it's our time, we hand the baton and say, now it's your turn, Timothy. Now it's your turn. Who's your Timothy today? As we have Carrie come, let's all stand. This morning, I pray that God has spoken to your heart. I pray that He's challenged each and every one of us, as He's challenged me with this message, to continue to move forward. Don't forget who spoke into your life to get you where you're at today. And now it's your turn, it's our turn, as a church and as individuals, to create more Timothys. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word is settled in heaven, and that everything that is spoken in the word of God about us is true. So, Lord, help us to pick up our mantle as church, as a church, as individuals, and help us to move forward in the kingdom's work and be about our Father's business. Bless everyone here. And if there's anyone here that needs to come forward to pray, we're available. In Jesus' name.